Good morning, everybody. I'm excited to be here today to share with you some community engaged research that I've been working on in Flint since my return there as an assistant professor in March. And I should qualify, I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. However, I am a native of Flint, and so being a big cheerleader for the community, a lot of the research I do is motivated not only by my research goals, but by my personal goals to help see Flint thrive. So a quick outline of the talk that I'll be giving today. I'm going to give a brief rationale for why a mobile market has been discussed in our community as an alternative to traditional food retail. I'll take you through the first part of this research, which is a food store assessment of all of the food stores in our community, and then into a spatial analysis, a multi-criteria spatial analysis of several variables that can be looked at spatially, and then rolled into the fourth component, which is an engagement with community groups about how to prioritize these spatial variables through a participatory mapping project. So before I get to the study area, the rationale for a mobile market, as you can see, comes from this long understood idea that access to healthy foods is a determinant of consumption. So in past research, researchers have found that increased supermarket access has been associated with increases in fruit and vegetable consumption. Other research has also found that it means an increase in junk food consumption, but that's a story for another day. There's also the idea that when you have more junk food outlets near your home, it's linked to decreased consumption of fruits and vegetables and increase in BMI, and especially for children. And again, some of this is correlative and not necessarily causative, but the problem remains. And fast food is more prevalent, and grocery stores have been found to be more scarce in poorer areas, and that's certainly the case in the study area of Flint. And then the last point, and this is an important point, is that food environment interventions are promising, but the results have been mixed, especially as it regards the introduction of food retail. So the study area for this research is Flint, Michigan, and this is a community where food deserts have long existed in inner city neighborhoods. This reflects the consolidation of stores during the 60s and 80s. So we used to have a local chain called the Hamady Stores, Hamady Food Markets, and those are completely gone now. They've been rolled into either into larger chain stores or they simply don't exist. And so I say advanced retail consolidation because Flint, being the birthplace of General Motors, has long been a place where cars are king. And so this, in the Hamady store, I don't know if you can see it in the map, or in the picture at the bottom, but it actually says automobile shoppers. So the whole idea of grocery stores as catering to the auto shopper, which meant that they had to go out to the suburbs and to larger parcels of land to serve the automobile population. What it's meant has been a huge gap in access to grocery stores, which are thought to be a proxy for healthy food accessibility in the city. And so the map here on the right is showing the percentage of people by census block group who can walk to a grocery store throughout the city. And so the darker areas kind of forming an X through the middle of the city, the older parts of the city, are places where you're more than, where 0% of people are within a mile of a grocery store. And the lighter yellow areas in the north and then over in the northeast are places where you can get to a grocery store. However, existing stores, and this is corroborated with in talking with community groups, and if you just take a drive around, they offer insufficient variety and quality. So these aren't your super Walmarts, your Meijer stores, your Kroger's. These are stores called, you know, the Hinky Dinky and Hutchinson's and little community family grocery stores. So they don't have that same variety. And this is a further issue because past research on nutrition in Flint has placed Flint and Genesee County at the bottom, 81st of 82 counties in Michigan, in all kinds of health indices like diabetes, obesity, and heart disease. Now, attempts have been made to address the grocery gap in the city. One store called Witherby's did open in 2010 in here, right here where this red dot is, but it closed within 18 months. And we've now seen the closure of 5 additional chain grocery stores in the last 3 years. And only one, which is up over here in the northeast side of town, has reopened as an independent. And so the map here that shows poor access to grocery stores is getting even worse. And yesterday, Target also announced we had a super Target on the east side, and that will be closing within the next few weeks as well. So the abandonment of the Flint community by the retail sector reflects broader patterns of disinvestment. Flint has lost 77% of its manufacturing jobs, 41% of its employment overall, and the population has been cut in half from a peak of about 200,000 to less than 100,000 today. As it pertains to access to healthy foods, this is important because not only has Flint been, like the rest of the United States, a part of this retail consolidation, but the fact that the population is declining at such a rapid pace means that the stores that have remained are increasingly closing because there's simply not a market case to be made for those stores to stay. And so this is a problem because it's difficult to find any healthy food in many neighborhoods, compounded by the fact that the people who are left in these neighborhoods tend to be the most distressed people in our community. So the idea for a mobile market that could transcend the limitations of this bricks and mortar establishment may yield some benefits for the community. And as it pertains to why these GIS methods have been used, GIS analysis has proven effective for spatial optimization of community amenities. It's the same basic process that retailers use when they're trying to figure out how they can make the most money. So this perspective is, how can we use those same tools to get food to people who are most in need? As well, community members have this expert knowledge about their communities that can aid in that spatial decision making. So the goal is therefore to use expert knowledge to inform this optimization procedure. So this food store assessment, which took place in 2012 and for which there are plans to redo, so we have a temporal view of spatial food accessibility, included 62 items, and these were open-ended fresh fruit and vegetable questions, frozen and canned fruits and vegetables, dried fruit, nuts, seeds, and you get over 126 points possible. There wasn't really a max, but 126 is kind of like an all-encompassing, as high as you might expect. So any store that sold food within 2 miles of the city of Flint was identified from a listing from our county health department. 288 stores were identified. A few of them were closed or refused. But for the stores that were refused, the scores that were found at similar stores based on size and location and ownership, scores were extrapolated to those other stores to create proxy estimates for the number of healthy food items. And three evaluators went around the city and checked all of these stores. And basically the gist of the map you're looking at is that this is the density of individual healthy food items at grocery stores. This isn't just produce. And so in fact, the reason that I made this first block here from 0 to 75 completely see-through is because in most of these communities, if they have maybe a dozen healthy food items, it's going to be something canned or something more shelf-stable. You're not seeing fresh fruits and vegetables. But the basic pattern is that there is some healthy food availability in the south side, over in the central west, and up in the northern part of the city. However, it's simply not the same quality and variety, and definitely not the same price that you would find at suburban stores. So this data set formed the backbone of subsequent multi-criteria spatial analysis with additional variables. So we have the density of healthy food options based on this food store assessment. We've thrown in a measure for socioeconomic distress, and this is an unweighted Z-score sum of 4 variables from the census. So this is census block group level of low-income families, low educational attainment, unemployment, and lone parenthood. As well, we've also used population density for the purpose of this hypothetical mobile market to target places where there are a lot of people who are in need. And then also access to bus stops as a proxy for places where a neighborhood might be able to get to a site. And then also neighborhood centers from the master plan are important as a screen because such mobile markets aren't allowed in all land use types in our city. But by screening out the ineligible types, we can already start, basically like a sifter, like a sieve, you can screen out places that are unsuitable. So these are just visualizations of these variables. So the socioeconomic distress is concentrated throughout the northern part of the city. This correlates very highly with our African-American population. Flint has a troubled history with racial discrimination in housing and employment, as with many other industrial cities in the north. And so socioeconomic distress tends to be higher in these areas. We throw on top of that population density, and you can already see some patterns emerging where there's red and then the darker colors here. So in particular, this neighborhood here is a high distress, high density neighborhood. that's emerging just from visual inspection as a potential candidate. And then access to bus routes, and this can be even more specifically connected, so that when you're looking up and down a specific bus route, if there's an option for a site here, how many people can it encompass within that bus route? And then, as I mentioned, these master plan designations, which are commercial corridors, neighborhood centers, and we have a new type of residential zone called a green neighborhood, where hoop houses and other types of urban agricultural uses are permitted, and mobile markets and fresh produce carts are allowed in those areas by right. So those are neighborhoods where this cart would be able to locate without any special licensing. So, given the importance of working with the community and not, pile driving this idea through the community, this participatory mapping process has seen some slight delays. So we've been following the schedule of our local food network, which is Edible Flint. So I've been working with Edible Flint on a different project, coordinating focus groups for their five-year evaluation, and this mobile market piece has fit in their key informant interview phase, because they have an institutional need as a service provider of local foods to understand from key informants in the community. These are people from government, from the food system, but also people from anti-hunger organizations and social justice organizations like churches and other community-based organizations. So in collaboration with Edible Flint, these key groups have been identified for gleaning this expert knowledge. So like I mentioned, while a planned mobile market for the summer of 2015 was not in operation, this delay is fortuitous in a way, because it expanded this window for public engagement in this mapping process. So what exactly does this process entail? So it entails a three-part participatory mapping exercise. First, the participants look at pairwise comparisons. So this is basically like in sporting lingo, it's like a round-robin tournament, where they are asked to look at all the variables that were just presented and weight them against one another. So a question would be, what's more important to you and your organization in prioritizing the siting for a mobile market? Would it be neighborhood level socioeconomic distress or neighborhood level food accessibility? So if neighborhood distress is paramount, it doesn't matter if there's a grocery store, low income people, we need to get more healthy food options to them. They would prioritize that and give it a victory score. How many points did it win by in that pairwise comparison? All of those can then be combined into a weighted linear combination to weight those variables. So instead of just overlaying low-income food access, access to or proximity to neighborhood centers, you can weight one of them. So if one of them is five times more important, that gets more prioritization, so that you're pinpointing exactly those types of neighborhoods which that reflect your needs. Sorry? Two? Okay, thanks. The other two parts were that participants also directly assign 100 points to these five variables. They can assign them any way they want, and then those weights are put back into the GIS to spit out the results. And then the third is to mark directly on this map, which is a combination of all of those variables of food access, of access to bus routes, of socioeconomic distress, and just circle areas that would be priority sites. So if somebody knows there's a church that is a really key serving site, they would circle that there, and that goes into the process as well. And so this map shows a mock result of what this would look like. This is an unweighted map. And basically the colors you're looking for are the red and the kind of fuchsia or pink zones here. And so as an example, I've circled these three community assets here, two of which are larger churches in the community, and one of which is a community center. And this process is iterative. So with these first results, they're then taken back to the community and basically shown to corroborate, does this make any sense? Are there variables that are missing? What else should we be taking into account? So the implications of this are that it will expand opportunities for selling healthy and local food. And with partnerships through the farmers market and our food bank, there's a lot of talk in the community about getting something like this out there. It was just a question of how do we do it in a way that we can make a financial go of it, but also serve the people in need. So the plans are to provide this data basically to any mobile market vendor, whether it was the food bank or the farmers market, and then with a proposal to collect their sales data from that season. A partnership with our farmers market would have the added benefit of being able to capture SNAP benefits, and in Michigan at our farmers market we have the Double Up Food Bucks program where people can basically double their purchasing power on benefits. And this is particularly important, again, because of Flint's context with this decreasing population means that traditional retail is less likely to invest. So we need other innovative ways of bringing healthy food to people. So with that, I thank you, and I wanted to thank the community partners that have been involved in this process to date. So the question's about relevant legal limitations. Do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and part of the benefit of having a market through an existing organization is that their inspecting can go through that parent organization. So if it was at the farmer's market, they could have their mobile truck inspected through the health department as a part of their inspection. Their general inspection, and then as it pertains to zoning and the legality of that, I'd mentioned there's the green residential zones and then commercial nodes and neighborhood centers that allow this use by right, and so they don't need to apply for any special exemption or license for that. We do have a few food trucks that are kind of semi-renegade. The city doesn't really have a licensing process for it yet, but they're not technically allowed in residential zones, so if it wanted to do like an ice cream truck thing and go up and down the streets playing music, like, I don't know, Farmer in the Dell or something, it would need a special license for that. Yep? Yeah, the question's about gleaning of produce, and the Food Bank of Eastern Michigan does do a fair bit of gleaning. They have partnerships with a number of grocery stores, and they take their, I guess, the second rate, the ugly produce, and they repackage it and distribute it at food distribution sites. Yeah, so the question's about community benefits programs in linking with this, and specifically about the Children's Hospital. There has been some interest from the Children's Hospital because they've had some mobile health clinics in the past, and they actually just co-located with our farmers market, so they're now immediately above the farmers market and have started writing prescriptions for healthy living. And so from their perspective, being able to get some kind of program linked with a mobile market would serve both the farmers market's needs and the Hurley Clinic's needs, who serves a very distressed population. I think 90% of their kids are on Medicaid.
But there's no investment?
No. Yeah, there's no formal investment as of yet.
Really interesting mapping technique and great presentations. I was wondering, in your engagement with the community, did you learn anything about people's shopping behaviors and how they interact with stores? Are they walking, or are they driving, and if so, how far, and are they shopping infrequently for bulk trips, or are they doing more frequent, smaller grocery runs?
Mm-hmm.
If you're setting a mobile market, is it going to be a full service to meet all grocery needs, depending on how people's shopping behavior?
Yeah, so the question's about shopping behaviors and like what the mobile market would look like specifically.
Well, what it would look like, if the kind of desert areas that you identify really represent true deserts, given people's shopping behavior. So people driving, even if there's not one in their community, they're driving 2 or 3 miles to a big box store or whatever.
Yeah, so I think part of the challenge in Flint is that even though it is very socioeconomically distressed, because it's the birthplace of General Motors, there is a culture where pretty much everybody has a car. The densities are so low that it's very difficult to get by without a car. And so for the most part, people are driving and they're putting up with the store closures and they're just driving further and further out into the suburbs to get to the next grocery store down the road. And that is the shopping habits for most people. Part of the push is through these the top three on the left, the Edible Flint, the Farmers Market, and the Food Works, who also have this directive around local food. So it's trying to capture some of those purchases away from the conventional food system back toward local vendors. But in terms of the makeup of the truck, it would probably be targeted toward produce. There has been some talks of doing cooking demonstrations on the truck, so there would be that primarily are vegetable-based, but then there would also be the additional staple items for sale. So if on Monday it goes out and it makes some kind of soup, it would also have those additional items available on the truck at that time.